Welcome back to the Dean Show. I'm with no stranger to the show. Salaam alaikum. Fast and furious here in the house. People, let me bring them up to speed. So at one point, people know Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And you did you actually, if people can go back and watch the show we did, you actually got in a really bad car accident.
Yeah.
You were a former Muslim, turned atheist, mm-hmm. came back to Islam, and then there was a point in your life where you actually, were you watching Fast and Furious?
I probably did, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably did, looking back, yeah.
And then you had that car accident.
Yeah.
And you went through the struggles that many people go through, and we're still struggling. It's a struggle. This life is, you know... that's my first question, I guess. Tell us, what do you see? Now you're an imam, a spiritual leader. You run the College of Islamic Studies. What do you see? People come in your office. What are some of the major, a few of the major challenges, crises that you see young people, old people going through?
The biggest thing is a crisis of faith right now. I think people don't know why they're Muslim anymore, and they're not sure if this is for them. They're trying to figure out, many people, what they're doing, unfortunately, is they're trying to be fulfilled through religion rather than realizing that religion or Islam is something that you're supposed to fulfill a purpose or a mission that Allah has set up for you. It's a test. Life is a test. What happens is if you feel that Islam is there to fulfill you and you give in charity and you help out in order to make you feel good, the moment you stop feeling good, the moment you go through some difficulty or challenge or some problem that happened in the masjid or some Muslim friend, made fun of you, whatever it is, you find a text that you can't understand, you all of a sudden start backing away and you start going away from this religion. And I feel a lot of people are going through that. They're going through a lot of questions. They don't know the answers to them and they just start running away and they think that there's no answers out there. They don't know who to talk to. So that's one of the challenges that people are going through. Another challenge is just literally people not having a good, solid Islamic education. So what happens is, almost everyone in my community or the people that I see, it's very common. Muslims will generally go through university. They have to have at least a 4-year degree, if not a master's degree. So we're talking about, 16 years of education, but very little religious education. Their religious education is like you learn how to read Arabic, you learn alif ba'ta, how to read the Quran, then you throw a party and you say, this guy just learned how to read the Quran, and that's it. You've graduated. You've learned everything you need to know about Islam, and that's it. And when you go into university, you go into college, you take classes on philosophy, you take classes on psychology, you encounter all these different theories, Sigmund Freud, Immanuel Kant, Nietzsche, all these things, and it messes with your head and it makes you start questioning things that you don't have a foundation to even come up with an Islamic answer to.
So what do you recommend when somebody in university, you have that philosophy class?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very honest and I'm telling people that if you don't have a solid Islamic foundation, don't ever walk into a philosophy class, especially a philosophy class, and don't walk into any Islamic studies class that's taught from a secular perspective. It's going to destroy your understanding of Islam. It's going to teach you how to what they call deconstructing Islam and looking how it evolved over time. And they're kind of presenting like a Christian evolution of, all these ideas, projecting it onto Islam. It's just going to mess with your head. And people go in and they think that, they're going to learn something from this, or, they're brave enough to, challenge their philosophy professors who are hardcore atheists or maybe agnostics, and they've been thinking about this and researching it for 30 years. You don't even know how to swim. You don't even know how to do a back float, and you're jumping into the deep end of the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's happening. And I see people drown all the time.
You're getting into a wrestling match with a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
You think you're the karate kid and that's it. You're gone.
You get a karate chop.
That's right.
Okay, so you have overcome this and you were an atheist. You were very well versed in atheism.
Mm-hmm.
Now you went to debating atheists.
Yes.
You've debated many. Tell us how this has gone.
Yeah, so I mean, after doing a lot of research, now I know the arguments that they make. The modern atheists, what they call the new atheists, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, all these guys. And I know the old atheists as well, Immanuel Kant and, David Hume and Kant was not an atheist, but, you know, he's skeptic, David Hume and these type of Nietzsche and all that. So the thing is, I debate them on a regular basis, and I realize that there's a few issues. Intellectually, rationally, their arguments don't really stand up. And they see that, but what's happening is, I notice in them, there's this intrinsic pessimism that they have. And it's emotional. And they come up with emotional arguments, you know. Well, you know, it gets down to, they had some bad experience in life. They went through some trauma. They had a bad experience at church with their religion, whatever it was. And you see that emotional thing coming out. And you say, well, what happened to all that intellectual rationalism that you were talking about? When they complain about, well, why are there so many bad things happening in the world? They make it all emotional. And I say, you're supposed to be that intelligent person. So from a rational, intelligent perspective, they don't win any of these debates. And you can see that there's some internal psychological trauma going on there. And now I can see it very clearly because I study the psychology of that. I deal with people regularly on a regular basis, do counseling and all that. And also I deal with these intellectual arguments. So when you got these Islamic understanding and Islamic arguments for existence of God, why religion, you know, why Islam, you know, came, why is there a purpose in life? How do we rationalize that? It's just clear as daylight now.
I want you to tell us about the God hotspot that everyone has been wired as proof to this. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and find out more about it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Back here on the Deen Show with Sheikh Mustafa. Tell us now, it's actually now, they've done studies that belief is something that is innate.
Yes.
And fighting against it is something that is acquired. You have to like fight against your nature. That's like this God spot is put in you. Is this correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've done research out of the universities in England, is Oxford. They did a major study and they found out that people are naturally inclined towards this. And the reason why it is, this is the way our minds are structured. The same way that, you know, we talk about scientific proof, scientific evidence, our minds are structured to accept that when an experiment goes one way 99 times and one way the other time, you say, well, we're going to believe that it's this way. The one time must have been a mistake. 99 times the experiment was able to repeat itself. That's the scientific method. So that's why people are very strong about believing in science. Mm-hmm. The same thing when we talk about this idea of causality, cause and effect that we see, when we think about things and we say, well, what's the origin of this entire universe, all these planets, everything that exists, what's the origin of all the complexities, our digestive system, all the systems and how they function together and everything? It's natural. It's built within us. It's built into us that we're going to make a conclusion. So you know what? If there is a creation, there's a creator. It didn't just pop out of nowhere. It doesn't make sense all of a sudden, you know, you find something very complex and you say, yeah, maybe, you know, that iPhone that we see, maybe the wind blew it and, you know, just metal pieces kind of randomly formed together somehow. Mm-hmm. So it's naturally built in because that's the way we're designed to think. And that's what we call in Islam the fitrah, the natural disposition that God created us upon. So in order for you to go against that, right, to disbelief in God and say, you know what, I don't believe that God exists or something like that, you have to go against your innate nature. And it actually takes like a leap of faith to get to that level.
There's a Professor Pascal Boyer from the Washington University. He talks about for our cognitive senses that disbelief, that's belief is generally the path of least resistance. Can you elaborate on that? So that's natural.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about children, you know, the same thing. One of the early scholars, Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, he says, you know, if you take a rock and you kind of throw it to the side and a little child is there, he'll look around to see where did this rock come from. This is built in. We want to investigate. We want to find out what's going on. That's exactly what this professor is saying. Professor Boyer is saying the exact same thing. It's built within us. We have this natural desire to question things, to get to the bottom of things, to try to understand them. And when we do that, it automatically inclines us to believe in something which makes sense. And that's belief in God. Belief in God, belief that there's a creator, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what he's talking about.
Now, you know, a lot of people get, as you say, stumped. You know, this is an intellectual. This guy has his PhD and he's coming out. And then one argument, they say, well, like you had brought up, do you believe in two fairies, Santa Claus? And you're, of course not, of course not. Then they put the creator in that same category. How do you go ahead and refute that?
See, the thing is, it's a deceptive argument. Because you know what? there are people who believe in strange things that don't have any basis. So just because there are people who believe in that and they may also believe in God, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say, right? So yeah, there are a lot of false religions out there. Doesn't mean that all religions are wrong because the ones that you happen to come across were wrong, right? So this is not the way that we function, you know? If someone has some bad qualities in them, it doesn't mean that they're all bad. And if someone has some good qualities in them, it doesn't mean that they're all good, right? So this is not the way we make judgments. So this is what people do, is they start going in, they start making fun. And they say, you know what, see this guy, they believe in this, they believe in that, they're all tricked and confused. No, you have to differentiate between what are good, rational beliefs that people hold and what are bad ones. So if you encounter a believer, for example, someone who believes in God, but then believes that if you break a mirror, you get 7 years of bad luck. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, because he believes in an idea about bad luck, which doesn't really have much basis, all of a sudden, because of that belief, his belief in God must also be incorrect. See, we don't judge the truth based upon what people believe. This was a statement of a well-known Muslim. His name was Ali. He was the fourth caliph in Islam. He said, don't know the truth based upon what people are saying. Know the truth yourself, and then you're going to know the people who follow that truth. And I think there's a lot to that. And what many atheists do is they try to focus and make fun of people. They have, you know, movies making fun of, look at how funny these Christian preachers are and they're doing weird things and all of that stuff. That doesn't negate the fact that belief in God is something rational. It's something that you can you know, be convinced of it. It makes sense to the average human mind. You can't lump everything together and just cause that to confuse people.
Now, the confused, the skeptic also, now because maybe they don't have that solid foundation, you can usually, as you grow in knowledge, your iman grows, you can see through a lot of this deception that's out there. But maybe someone now is confused because all they see nowadays, and it seems like the media is magic, right? You get sucked in and you start to believe some of the things out there. Maybe you're Muslim also, and you think like, how could this Islam be the truth that my parents are pushing on me when all it is associated with violence, mm-hmm. ISIS all day and night, yeah. You know, oppression of women? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, people need to judge Islam not based upon what they see in the media, first of all. I mean, they need to understand that the media has an agenda. It's a for-profit industry. They have an agenda, and what they're going to report has to be sensational news. So that's the first thing. Whenever we see something in the media, we should be very skeptical. And we should say, wait a minute. Do they have some agenda behind why they're promoting something like that? And then the second thing is, you know, when you're a little bit skeptical, it's good to be a little bit skeptical on these things. Say, I want to find out the truth. So how do you find out the truth? You go to the sources, or you go to people who know the sources, and you say, hey, why don't you answer? You know, I saw that there was mistreatment of women going on in such and such country. Is that representative of the religion of Islam? Go and ask a scholar, and he'll tell you and explain to you, what does Islam really say about women? Go and check the Quran and see what it talks about women. There's an entire chapter, you know, labeled chapter number 4 is about women. It's titled Women. So if you look at what status Islam is actually given to women, and you look at some of these practices that people are doing, and you'll find that they're actually antithetical. They're actually in contradiction with the real teachings of Islam. You find out that Islam is a solution to these problems. There are Muslims who will do bad things. The same way there are Christians, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus, and there are atheists that do very bad things. We don't judge people's religion based upon what people are doing. You judge people's religion based upon that religion itself. So you apply the same standards to the religion of Islam. You learn about Islam, you read about Islam, you read the Quran, you read the other texts on Islam, you learn what Islam says, and then you can judge whether that those Muslims that you see on TV or whoever else you see, if they're in line with the teachings of religion or of religion of Islam or not.
We're going to be right back, God willing, with not the $1 million question, the $1 billion question. Here on the Dean Show, don't go anywhere. Back here on the Dean Show, thank you for tuning in. Again, if you haven't subscribed, subscribe right now so you get the next show delivered directly to you. I said not the $1 million question, but this is the $1 billion question that every human being should be asking themselves. I mean, we're functioning in this earth. We live, you know, newborn childs are coming in, old people, young people are leaving, but people are just engrossed in accumulating more wealth, more money, you know, living the party and die, YOLO, you only live once. But they're forgetting the billion-dollar question. Why am I here? What's the purpose?
Yep.
And I've asked many people, have you ever asked yourself this question? And I just get astonished that, you know, to now it's not a surprise anymore, but in the beginning it was, people don't ask that simple question.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people have probably asked it when they were young at some point in time, but they just kind of covered it up. They couldn't find an answer to it quickly. You know, we want everything quick.
Fast food.
Fast foods, fast instant coffee. Everything's just got to be done quickly. So everyone, they think about that question. You know, most people think about it and then they just dismiss it. Say, I didn't come up with a quick answer. I talked to my friend and, you know, someone just came up with something weird and he said, okay, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we got to ask the ultimate question. You know, many people are redefining this idea of the purpose of life. It's not just what you want to do in life. It's not your career. It's being filled with what your career is, with what this is. There's an ultimate purpose in life. And that purpose in life is that we're here to worship God, to adjust our lives in according to the guidance that God has given us.
Now someone says, look, I got to work. I got to provide for my family. Yeah. I got to go play some ball. What are you talking about? You want me to be stuck in a mosque all day worshiping? What do you actually mean?
Exactly. So worship needs to be defined clearly. Worship in Islam doesn't mean that you're engaged in prayer all the time. It doesn't mean that you give up your job, you quit your job, and you become a monk and you sit in a cave somewhere and you know you're just remembering God all the time. Worship in Islam basically means that you're adjusting your lifestyle and your life according to the way that God wanted it. So God knew. He made this world where you got to work, you got to spend time with your family, you got to socialize, you got to do all these things. But when you're doing them, you're doing it in a moral way, in a way that's righteous, in line with the teachings that God actually wanted us to apply. So we're not going to steal. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to, you know, abuse our family. We're not going to backbite and talk bad about other people. We're not going to gossip. These type of things is what we call worship in Islam. It's a holistic program for how we live our life in every single thing that we do, knowing that God is watching and that we will be held accountable, you know, after this life in terms of what we did in this life.
That kind of goes opposite. Let's say you're an atheist. I mean, there are some good people who call themselves humanists. I mean, because it's part of also that nature to be good, to be, then you get corrupted. You read a book like Machiavellian,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you want more money. And so now you're promoting or learning to lie, deceive. And we see a lot of that, don't
whatever
we?
Benefits you, yeah. That's become, this selfish individualism is becoming very, very common. And you know, even people who initially, they say, no, I'm going to follow good values. It's very tempting. And there's nothing to keep you in check if all of a sudden, you know, someone puts a $100 bill in front of you. And you say, you know, would you take that? No one else is watching. You don't believe anyone's watching. You don't believe anyone's going to hold you accountable. You think you're going to get away with it. It's tempting. And you say, no, I can resist. Make it $1,000. Make it $10,000. It starts to get more and more tempting, right? What's going to hold you back from doing that if you don't actually have something, if you don't have a purpose in life where it's going to help keep you in check and make you realize that you're going to have to stand in front of God one day and you're going to have to account for everything that you've done in this life, including that money that you took or including that lie that you told.
You'll be so surprised. People used to play a game called What Would You Do for a Million? And everything just went, all morals and everything just went out the window. People selling their souls. They'll sell their mothers.
That's it.
Yeah.
Life is deceptive.
But when you're on that foundation of connection, of purpose with your creator, your living purpose, would you say that now these things, you're less likely to get tempted by these things?
Absolutely. As long as you keep it in mind, you know, the more conscious you are of God and the more conscious you are of your purpose in life, you always remember that, you know what, you know, you learn to restrain yourself and you learn to remember that not only are you going to be held accountable, but you develop things. You know, we fast. As Muslims, we fast in Ramadan. We learn that level of self-control. So when you give up some food for a while, you give up water in the summer. It's hot. You're thirsty. You want some water. When you remember, hey, I gave up water when I could have drank water, right? You learn a different level of self-discipline. I can give up lying. I can give up stealing. I can give up cheating. I can give up these other things if I learn to give up something where I had to struggle against myself. So there are these spiritual practices which make us stronger believers, and also we're able to resist our own desires and temptations that come our way.
If some, so the person that was always saying, okay, what's the purpose of life? Is to have a family. What's the purpose of life? Is to help people. Is to help the poor, to feed the poor. Mm. What's the purpose of life? To win the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm. How do these all fit in?
See, the thing is, people need to zoom out. You know, so these are some good things sometimes. You know, helping poor people, fighting for, you know, social justice. These are good things, you know. But this is not an entire system or program of why we were created in the first place.
Can this be a means?
This can be a means. This can be one of the many means that we have. But what we need to realize is that there's a predefined purpose of our existence. In terms of why we came here, there's a reason. God created us here for a reason. We need to figure out what is that reason. And the only way we can know that, we can't just sit and close our eyes and sit in a cave and contemplate, I'll try and figure out, you know, why we're here in the first place. The only way to know that is if God, you know, communicated to us. And that's why we got to read the Revelation. And we got to see, you know what? God telling us, why did he create us? And what are we supposed to be doing here? So that's all part of it. Charity, donation, helping people, the golden rule, reciprocating, being nice to people. That's all good. That's part of it. But it's not all of it. So you got to zoom out and you got to see how all of that fits together. And that's what the message of Islam is.
Where's a good place? There's the few things that usually desires blocks a person. Desires, you know, the inherited beliefs from, and then the culture. Mm. But you talk about right now deep reflection, contemplating. How can you, before we leave, motivate someone? Where's a good place to start, and how to put these things? Because, you know, Johnny and Sally, Friday's coming up, and, you know, she's got VIP access. He's hitting back to the club. This other person, you know, same thing. He's hitting the pub. And now they tune in, but where before they go back, some motivation to get them. I like to mention death a lot.
Yeah. I would definitely reflect upon death. You know, the more people think about death is something certain. Something that regardless of what religion you follow, wherever you're coming from, you think about the fact everyone believes that they're going to die. Even those people who think that, you know, they can freeze their body and maybe someday science will bring them back or whatever, reflect on death and think about, you know what, what's going to happen after death. You take it more seriously and you start to reflect, you know what? I want to know what happens afterwards. I should go and check out a book on Islam. I should go check out the Quran, see what it says in terms of what's going to happen after death, how we're going to be responsible in this life, and that starts to wake you up.
There's no coming back. Some people are deceived, like, okay, God can just tell me if there is, that when I die, like, what was it all about, so I can go back and correct my mistakes?
See, that'll defeat the purpose of the test.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. If a teacher gives you a test and all of a sudden you make all these mistakes and you turn it in and all of a sudden they say, you know what, we're gonna go ahead and give it back to you with all the right answers. Now you go ahead and fill it in. What's the point of the test? There's no point. So we get one shot. One shot at this life.
One shot right now is done.
That's it. It's done. And you don't know when the test is going to be over. So if you're thinking about delaying, if you're thinking about, you know, I'll think about this tomorrow. You know, I got a movie to go watch. I got a coffee to go drink. I got to go hang out with my friends. You know, you can do all those things. Just cut it down. Take a little bit of time before you go to sleep every night. You know, read 30 minutes. Reflect, contemplate. Think about these things. Take life a little bit more seriously.
Asking the Creator?
Ask the Creator. Just say, pray for guidance. So you know what, God, show me the right path. And if you're sincere and you're willing to put a little bit effort into it, he'll help you and he'll guide you.
Tell us, you're the dean of the College of Islamic Studies.
Yes.
Tell us if people want to go ahead and start some classes with you.
Yes, the College of Islamic Studies is a full, comprehensive Islamic curriculum, Islamic education program. We have our website, collegeislam.com, where we offer 18 different courses, which give you a good, balanced, relevant, contemporary understanding of the religion of Islam. You can take courses on site and you can take courses online. You can register at any time and you can start those classes and benefit yourself.
We started with peace, one with peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much.
Assalam. This is the nation.